Well, hello again. As always, thanks for tuning in, folks. PCC Sustain Me is jazzed to have joined forces with The Bridge, Portland Community College's student newspaper. This means there will be a weekly column online for your eyeballs to enjoy with the weekly episodes. Isn't that nice? And we are super duper stoked to be working in partnership with GPSN, the Greater Portland Sustainability Education Network, as well. You can connect and access the program via gpsen.org too. Now the podcast has multiple cozy places to call home. Okay, well, back to the program we go. From Portland Community College, this is PCC Sustain Me. I'm Joe Culhane, and my guest today is Jenny Lee, and we'll be talking about the Portland Clean Energy Fund campaign.
Boom, boom, darkness falls, headlights in the
air. So guess what? The 2018 midterm elections are today. This may or may not be one of the more important election cycles in current times. Either way you slice or dice it, there are going to be some decisions made through our democratic process that will alter the course of our collective story in significant ways. Yeah, that's right. Vote. Vote like your life depends on it. Vote because you care. Vote because if nothing else, it gives you a legitimate reason to complain down the road if what you voted for doesn't pass. Not that I'm endorsing complaining, mind you. Sincerely, though, this is as important as anything I can think of right now if we are going to try and maintain a democracy and attempt to change our trajectory from the same platform we've been standing on. Pending any massive near-term shifts in our collective paradigm, while we still are under an agreement that our civilization operates through a government founded by a group of old white men in a time most would like to forget, we must proceed with care for who we are voting into office and what measures, amendments to our constitutions, and actions we are going to take moving forward. These decisions will have consequences, both negative and positive, and we, the people, who have the legal ability to vote, that is, are in a position to help choose the path we take. One of the biggest and most exciting plans that is on the table in these United States of America is happening right here in Portland, Oregon. The Portland Clean Energy Initiative is a bold and yet relatively simple plan to get us on the right track in many ways. I was fortunate enough to talk with Jenny Lee, the advocacy director from the Coalition of Communities of Color. Lee has helped lead this campaign as part of the core steering committee, comprised of several amazing organizations in the greater Portland area. Before we get any further into the conversation I had with Jenny about the Portland Clean Energy Initiative, I would first like to acknowledge that this program is being recorded on the traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Bands of the Chinook, Tualatin Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia River. Multnomah is a band of Chinooks that lived in this area. We thank the descendants of these tribes for being the original stewards and protectors of these lands since time immemorial. We also acknowledge that Portland, Oregon has the 9th largest urban Native American population in the U.S., with over 380 federally recognized tribes represented in the urban Portland metropolitan area. We also acknowledge the systemic policies of genocide, relocation, and assimilation that still impact many Indigenous Native American families today. We are honored by the collective work of many Native nations leaders, and families who are demonstrating resilience, resistance, revitalization, healing, and creativity. We are honored to be guests upon these lands. Thank you, and thanks also to our colleagues at the Portland State University Indigenous Nations Studies Program for crafting this acknowledgement. So, just a little backstory on the Portland Clean Energy Fund. Besides the core steering committee that Jenny is going to kindly share, who is all a part of that in a moment here, I think it is worth noting that there are literally hundreds of groups, organizations, businesses, neighborhood associations, labor unions, members of faith communities, and notable individuals like Naomi Klein, Bill McKibben, Van Jones, and our very own U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley, to name but a few that endorse this initiative. What I see that is perhaps most exciting about this coalition is that it truly branches into nearly every walk of life that humanity has to offer. People from a vast array of backgrounds all support this, and the driving force behind a lot of it is communities who have been traditionally marginalized and oppressed. They are leading the way, and that is truly wonderful. We'll jump into the talk with Jenny, and she can share a bit more of who the key groups in the core steering committee are. It's an impressive list.
Yeah. Well, it is something of an unusual campaign structure because this was so grassroots, you know, organizations, community leaders came together to develop the initiative, and the campaign has looked a little bit similar. So we have a broad coalition of endorsers and supporters, and then we have a steering committee that's composed of key organizations that have been engaged in this and have been willing to devote substantial resources and energy to helping it get passed. So that's Coalition of Communities of Color, in no particular order, because I always have to randomly think of it, the NAACP of Portland, Native American Youth and Family Center, the Audubon Society of Portland, Sierra Club Oregon Chapter, 350 PDX, Verde, and the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon, and Opal Environmental Justice. And I should have looked because it's entire, I don't know how many I just recited.
I think you nailed about all of them. What is the Physicians for Social Responsibility?
Yes, exactly. Okay, yes.
And I don't know if you said Columbia River Keepers, but you were impressively listing them off there. So well done. And
They are key members as well. Yeah. So we have a steering committee structure as well as an executive committee that kind of makes administrative decisions. And so we also serve on that. So I have been co-coordinating communications. So that's my role along with Damon Watt-Story from Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. So so we have kind of an unusual structure where instead of a very hierarchical seasoned campaign staff, we actually had many folks step up and take on a lot of the roles that would often be toward people who specialize in doing that kind of thing in campaigns. So Damon and I have been co-managing communications. Alan Hippolito from Verde has been the campaign manager. There's a lot of incredible work from Apano, 350 PDX, doing earned media and visibility and all sorts of organizing skills that people bring many, many different areas of expertise to the table and many different experiences and ideas and perspectives. So it actually looks, I think, I've never worked on a campaign before, and I'm far from the only one. Many of us have never done that kind of campaign work. So it's pretty exciting because it's truly grassroots, and that's, I think, how we've had a really creative, dynamic campaign that's just been brought so many folks along.
Yeah, and I wonder what before this has done such a good job of bringing so many different groups and folks together for, you know, an initiative like this. Ideally, hopefully fingers crossed this passes, of course, but the, you know, relationships that have been established through this organization and energy and effort that's put into it, it's like, it's got to ripple out into so many great future resilient movements and, you know, organized efforts, which is so crucial nowadays in so many ways. But right now, this is the big one. I mean, I know the Van Jones quote is the one that like just sticks out to me because Van Jones is a very popular politician in the world, but the most important ballot measure in the country. That's a pretty big statement. Could you share with me and all listeners like what your thoughts are on this initiative, what it means to you, and why you're so passionate about being, you know, so engaged in it and having it pass?
Yeah, well, I think that this measure really gives us an opportunity for something positive that's the direction we want to be going in. So it's a step toward a more equitable, more sustainable future. And it's something that we can do right here in Portland. I think around the country, we're seeing, you know, all this incredible candidate work that's going on, political organizing. But here in Portland itself, it's a little bit different. Our electoral landscape looks different. But everybody's wondering, you know, what can we do to take action for environmental justice, for racial justice, economic justice? And Portland Clean Energy Initiative is really a big part of the answer. Takes action on climate and economic inequality at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's that kind of ability to have an environmental impact, to create healthier communities, to mitigate the impact of climate change, and then economic opportunities. So good jobs and job trainings, opportunities that will help people get into things like skilled trades. That's huge. So I'm very excited that it checks all of those boxes. So personally, I think it's we see that it's a real investment in our communities that has many benefits. And then for corporations to be paying their fair share and actually putting that money into the communities where they earn their profits. So I think, and account for their carbon emissions. So I think that it's a really expansive initiative. And maybe the last thing I'd say is that the community-driven solutions that it enables, there's nothing else like this out there that really leaves it up to a committee of experts to determine the framework for the fund, and then for community-based organizations to, on their own or in partnership with public or private entities, to come up with ideas and execute them based on the needs of the community. So we believe that the community, the communities most impacted are the best able to determine what the solutions are. And that's exactly what the Portland Clean Energy Initiative would enable.
Hmm. Yeah, that's all good things. So this is the first time you've done anything like this, you said, like as far as organizing in a campaign?
Yeah.
Yeah, what has that been like? What's maybe one highlight, you know, from, you know, flying kind of by the seat of your pants, I imagine, getting involved with everyone else who's also some experienced seasoned vets, some who are just learning the ropes with you. What was that like? What does it feel like now that you're approaching election day? Yeah, you know, like, is there something like, do you feel like you could take the helm and do this again, you know? Or do you need like a big break and breather from it all? Or was this inspiring and you know,
well,
I'm asking several questions. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. One of my, a colleague, we were in the car rushing off to a press conference with two former mayors of Portland, Bud Clark and Tom Potter. And we were kind of late. We were coming right out of the steering committee meeting and we're like rushing over. And she said, gosh, I don't know what's gonna happen. What are we going to do with all the adrenaline once the campaign is done? And I think that's true. I have worked on legislative advocacy in the past, well, and I continue to do so, but, you know, I've had points where there is that little bit of a letdown, I think, afterward. I think I'll definitely miss the camaraderie and excitement of this. I think one of the most fun parts actually is the pace of it, because I love seeing stuff come together quickly where we're not hand-wringing or perfectionist, but we want to do it right. We want to do it well, but we also need to get out there and get it done. So I think that's been, in some ways, just like what you keep finding out what you're capable of, especially when you're collaborating with these incredible folks to get done. You know, we'd have 2 or even 3 earned media events a week. And normally that's the type of thing I'd be like, oh, okay, 1 a month or something. And now, you know, we've had folks pick them up and put them on and be successful. We haven't had anything really flop. And so it's pretty, that's pretty exciting to see just like what you can get done when everyone pulls together.
That's cool. That's inspiring. I know in action through, you know, just the what ifs or fear can keep us at bay, but just going for it is so rewarding. And it sounds like you and all the volunteers and other members have done that. And, you know, I did a bit of a early signature field work myself way back when for the campaign, which was really exciting. And our whole campus, our several campuses were really actively involved too, which is really cool to see a lot of students participating. But I'm just so amazed at how many different organizations have been a part of it, and running into people on the streets from so many different groups. I just appreciated that so many people were actively moving towards the same goal. And with the IPCC, the report, and the most recent now with the World Wildlife Fund saying we have a 60% loss of wildlife, biodiversity, and human causes of this, I feel like this, you know, this is one of those steps in the right direction. While we're still in a pretty messy system, this seems like a great chance for us to get on the right side of, you know, the movement going forward. And I know sometimes I just kind of talk and get excited without a question involved, but what are some next steps for you? So, and I just kind of curtailed what I just was going on about, but this winds up and you go back to work, and, you know, like you just said, the adrenaline's kind of winding down. What is a day-to-day, you know, advocacy action that the Coalition of Communities of Color does, and perhaps how this does relate to just your life and your work that you're up to right now?
Yeah, so the Coalition of Communities of Color, we actually have an environmental justice manager position, but right now we don't have someone in that role because of the campaign work. So we definitely will continue doing environmental justice work. Energy justice is a big feature of that. We had a major community energy justice summit in June. We'll continue identifying next steps from that, how will, and then if the Portland Clean Energy Initiative is to pass, there'll be huge opportunities there to continue that and that focus on energy democracy. So that would be my colleague's role. My role as advocacy director, what it will look like coming up soon is getting ready for the legislative session. So working with CCC's members to identify what their legislative priorities are, or they know what they are, but and then helping to create, and then creating an agenda for the coalition and advancing that at the legislature. So actively lobbying, we'll hold a legislative action day where we have community members turn out and from our various organizations to meet with legislators. So that runs from late January all the way through probably early July, late June. So that is a pretty intense process. So there's a lot of big issues like there are every year, and a lot of things we won't know how the session might look until we see the results tomorrow night. We also do city and county advocacy. So we will continue to work with the, on especially county budget and county, city and county budget issues to make sure that racial equity is at the core of funding county, you know, government programs. So environmental justice also then does show up in that as well, for sure. So my role is a little bit the legislative advocacy, it's a good deal of legislative advocacy, the campaign work. When that winds down, I think that'll be the big that'll be where we really shift next. But it's also been a lot of things, like even our conversations about us as the Portland Clean Energy Initiative, the campaign coalition, the steering committee, you know, everything. I think it's a little bit like, okay, we'll talk about that, you know, election day after election day, because it's just everything kind of is all focused in on that. So I definitely have a map of what I need to do. I have a long to-do list. And so everything's just been put on pause a little bit, but I'm excited because every legislative session is a big one, and 2019 won't be any different. So whatever environmental issues, but especially I'm excited about tenant protections, equity in early learning programs, paid family leave will be back up. So there's a ton of big issues that I'm excited to get started working on and see also, you know, and what our members are most excited about.
That is all really wonderful, and you do really awesome work. So thank you. And if you wouldn't mind, just to go back to this Portland Green Energy Initiative, this Green Fund, and just how it will impact these local communities and provide jobs and all that cool stuff, which I just really do think is very important. And I know it just would be helpful to have an even better understanding of how this will directly impact them, if you don't mind sharing just a little bit more about that. You already did touch on it a little bit, but that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, I did touch on a little that this is really, it's an opportunity for community driven solutions and those that come out of it. So I think there are many ways that we probably have not even yet, you know, anticipated that this could look. But we do have a lot of models, organizations like Verde that offer social enterprise and economic development. Job training, it could be specifically something like, you know, it's the solar panel installation and then with a pathway into an apprenticeship for a union skilled trade. I think actually I was even, a couple times actually, I think even PCC came up. I had some questions like from a journalist and a friend who works at PCC also mentioned it. It's even possible that it could be an expansion of job training. So in partnership, nonprofits can partner with public entities and build upon something that's going on, expand an existing program that would create that would provide job training. So I think there's, it's even potential to build on the work that's already being done even at PCC.
That's cool. Schools need it. PCC needs that too, that's for sure. Well, I'm just hoping beyond hope that this does pass. And, I'm really glad you could take a little bit of time to just, you know, reflect on the work you've been doing. And it's late and election day is tomorrow. And I don't know if there's any other ideas or thoughts or things you want to convey that you'd be happy to share. If not, you know, I just want to say thank you again. But if there's anything at all about the work you've been doing, memories, hurdles, challenges, successes, I would love to hear it. If not, I just, again, thank you so much for joining me here for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. I think, you know, the thing that will be memorable no matter what happens is that coalition behind this initiative and the partnership of organizations of color, culturally specific organizations leading with the partnership of mainstream environmental organizations. And so there's some analogies, I think, like 1631 in Washington, that ballot initiative and the kind of labor and community of color alliance has been really interesting. And I think we've seen sort of that new alliance being built and that the coalition really, it has built political power for our communities. A lot of folks now know a lot more about campaigning and whether or not, you know, whatever role we play politically, we certainly are, we've been through it and we'll be much better equipped to take action in the future and engage electorally. So I think that that's really a change. There's a ton of amazing organizing being done by culturally specific organizations on a lot of races, but this is where we've really been able, I think, to take it and learn from it. And so I think that that's the most exciting thing, is what political shift this could, if we win, that's huge. But even if not, there's the infrastructure that's being put in place, and hopefully we'll see some political change. I think the time is definitely ripe. It's overdue. And I think that this coalition is laying a foundation for that. So
fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jenny. Have a great night. I'll share, a link to this after I get it up tomorrow morning, and we'll see how the voting goes. Vote, yes, everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if you want to come out and help us canvas or collect ballots, we'll be going for a while. So, and phone banking up until pretty late. So ballots are due at 8 p.m., but we'll be busy up until then.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, Jenny. Have a wonderful night.
Awesome. Thanks, you too. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Love them all
and let them all. All right. Please go and vote. Jenny Lee and the hundreds of groups, organizations, and communities who've been campaigning for the Portland Clean Energy Initiative sure would appreciate it. I would too, for that matter. And by all means, go and offer up a bit of time to phone bank or hit the streets if you can. It takes actions like these sometimes to give people that little extra push that'll get them out to vote. And it is these actions that can transform our reality for the better, in a lot of cases as well. The civic duty of voting is great, though. At the very least, please do that. Going above and beyond and volunteering some time is a very rewarding exercise, too. Not only do you get brownie points and are participating in being even more a part of the solution, chances are that you'll meet some new people and make a few new friends in the process as well. Plus, in a time in our digital reality where so much of our communications happen behind a screen, it sure is nice to get in a room with a bunch of people for something you believe in and being face-to-face with others who are as passionate as you. That can be a very powerful and lasting inspirational experience. I know it has been for me. Well, big thanks to Jenny Lee, the advocacy director from the Coalition of Communities of Color, and one of the many driving forces behind the campaign for the Portland Clean Energy Initiative. I really appreciate her taking the time the night before the election to speak with me. And to every single person who has volunteered for this campaign, thank you as well. You are awesome, and I'd like you to know that. Well now, here we are. It's election day, and it's time to cast your ballot if you haven't already. Last thing before I go, special shout out to my darling wife for the intro and outro music, and this episode was recorded, edited, and produced by me, Joe Colhane. And I'll leave you with this. Before, during, and after voting, please do remember to love them all, folks. Every last one.